This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good day and a good day to be together in the Spirit of Christ who unites us across time this morning. Given the inclement weather that is coming through Nashville this weekend, we made the decision to go ahead and record our worship service on Saturday morning so that all of us together can worship online in safety and not try to take any risks to get on the road. But rest assured that those of us who are leading in worship this morning have all of you in our hearts as we worship, as we lead this morning. And being online together, we know that we are united in Christ's Spirit. And I invite you to greet each other in the chat and to make sure that you know that this congregation is gathered together and we are not alone, even as we gather in our own homes. So welcome. And I would invite you to take a moment to register your attendance and let us know that you're with us. There's a link provided on the screen that you can put into your browser and sign in and let us know that you were amongst us this morning as we gathered. Just a word about our inclement weather policy. We will make sure and let you know if there's a change on a Sunday morning. We will send out an email to anyone whose email address we have, and that includes those who get the Friday emails but may not be members of the church quite yet. We'll put news in the Friday newsletter. We'll put it up on the website. We'll change the voicemail at the church office. So if you have any questions at all, there are lots of ways to find out what the plan is for Sunday morning. So we wanted to make sure as the winter continues, that we communicate well. Just a few announcements as we gather for worship this morning. Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, and the Nashville Committee for MLK Day will be having some online commemoration, and we would invite you to participate in that and to celebrate his legacy in our midst. Also on Monday, the church office will be closed, but we hope, weather permitting, to begin a pretty big project on the second floor. Wanted to let you know that we're replacing the slate tiles that take up part of the floor on the second floor. They have become a little bit uneven and a bit of a tripping hazard, and so we want to replace those to make sure we don't have anyone tripping and falling. But we ask for your patience, which is the theme of today's sermon, as we do that work. We hope that it won't disrupt Sunday traffic for more than one Sunday, but we wanted to give you a heads up about that. And finally, I'm just thrilled to be beginning a new sermon series this morning. We're going to be exploring Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the 13th chapter, where he talks all about what love is and what love does. We'll take a little bit at a time for the next 7 weeks and hope that God's love and learning more about God's love will help us to live out love each and every day. I'm glad to be with you this morning. Let us lift our hearts in worship in this time together.
Today, the word of God comes to us in love.
Inviting us not to be afraid, but to place our faith in God.
Today, the word of God comes to us in faith.
Inviting us to trust in the one who knows us, to place our hope in the one who saves us.
Today, the word of God comes to us in hope.
Inviting us to be gracious in our love and in our service to others.
Jesus comes to proclaim peace to all who are far off and all who are near. Through him, all have access to the one Spirit. Therefore, let us confess our sins together, that we might receive forgiveness and peace. God of incredible patience, we confess we fall short of extending to others the same perfect love you first freely gave to us. We know that love is patient, but impatient rules our hand. We know that love is kind, but we callously lash out, even with those we hold most dear. We know that love is not jealous, or resentful, or self-centered, but we struggle to see beyond ourselves, while the needs of others pale in insignificance. Forgive us, loving God. Heal us for our transgressions. In all our failings, O God, you have continued to love us fully. For us who are your children, your patient compassion has no end. May we be transformed by the power of your steadfast love, that we may become who you call us to be, shining the loving light of Christ everywhere we go. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. You may do that with a text message, populate the chat. We're excited to hear from you. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly. But then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to have a special moment with the children. And so if you are worshiping with us and want to move a little closer to your screens, I'll see which camera I should look into. Boy, do I miss seeing you in person, but I'm so glad that we have this great technology that allows us to still worship together on Sunday morning. So I have a special surprise this morning. We had made some plans for our worship series that's all about love. We're going to spend the next 7 weeks together on Sunday mornings talking about love and how much God loves us and how we're called to love God and love other people. And so what we wanted to do this morning, if it weren't for the snow, was to give out gifts to everybody who came to worship in person, and to keep giving them out for the next 6 weeks, and to make sure that anyone who wants one can get one if we mail it to them or drop it by their house. And I'm going to show you what it is. It's called a tumbler. That's a word that's kind of new. It's a cup, basically, and it says, "Love always." That's our theme for the next 7 weeks, to love always, because as Mr. Patrick just read, love never ends. And then on the back, it has West End, United Methodist Church. And this is something you can put cold water in or hot chocolate in, whatever you want to drink. You can put it in here and remember that God loves you and that you're called to love other people. One of the things that made us think about having a cup is that it gives us an idea about God's love that gets poured into us. God's love that's poured into our hearts all the time. A never-ending supply, like a faucet just running all the time. God's love is always pouring out upon us. And it fills us up and helps us to feel loved. And that way, we can always drink from God's love and share it with other people. So this is a reminder, if you drink out of this cup, that God's love is filling your heart, and God wants to keep you full of God's love all the time so you can share it with other people. So if you're able to come to church in person sometime over the next few weeks, you can have one of these too. And if you're not able to get here, let us know and we'll make sure and get one to you. Let's pray together. God of love, we thank you so much for the way that you love us completely without stopping. There's nothing that will ever keep you from loving us. Help us to receive your love. Help it to fill our hearts so that we can share it with other people all the time, every day. We can love always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the way, purple's my favorite color. But they also have blue and orange and green, any color you like. So as I've shared with the children, or as you've heard me say a few times over the past few weeks, we are launching a brand new worship series this morning, where we're going to be exploring 1 Corinthians 13. And this morning, we're honing in and focusing in on the simple phrase, love is patient. which gives me an excuse to please ask for your patience. With this weather coming in, we've had to move this time of worship and record it early on a Saturday morning, and I thought I had 24 whole hours to work on a sermon, but you're getting what you're getting this morning, and I hope you'll be bearing with me. That's another part of it. Love bears all things, so please bear through this sermon if you would. One of the reasons it's been hard to get to the actual Sunday sermon this week is because there have been several other worship services that I've had the privilege of participating in. On Friday afternoon, we had an opportunity to celebrate the beautiful life of Sue Miller, a true saint in our midst. And so we had a lovely memorial service here in the sanctuary on Friday afternoon. On Saturday evening, which to me is a few hours from now and to you is yesterday, there was a wedding that I got to officiate. We celebrated a marriage taking place and worshiped God together in the sanctuary. And then Sunday morning worship. As the Spirit would have it, all three of these worship services centered around the same text, 1 Corinthians 13. Bill Miller and his family chose to have that as one of their readings for the memorial service. It was a reading that he had read aloud at their wedding, and it was a teaching of Paul that Sue embodied throughout her life. In fact, I can hardly think of anyone who embodied this kind of love better than Sue Miller. And then, of course, tonight at the wedding, there will be someone reading 1 Corinthians 13. That's probably when we hear it most often, is at weddings, because it is a hymn, H-Y-M-N, to love, a celebration of love and a charge to the couple on how to love one another, be patient and kind, not insisting on your own way, bearing with one another. But the truth is that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter not to two people who were taking vows to each other in marriage, but to a congregation, to a group of followers of Christ who were trying to figure out how to love one another as Christ loved them. The church in Corinth was having a lot of conflict and a lot of trouble. It seems to have been a very diverse congregation made up of people who had come from the Jewish tradition and others who had come from the Gentile culture. And it was really hard to figure out how to order their life together. There were people who were wealthy and established citizens, and there were others who were enslaved and poor. There were men and women, young and old, and different political opinions, different opinions about the Roman government, and here they were all mixed up together trying to be a church. And the whole letter, first letter to the Corinthians especially, Paul is addressing various conflicts and problems and taking issue by issue and helping them walk through it. But when he gets to chapter 13, he hones in on what is absolutely at the foundation of life together, and that is love. You can do all of these other things. You can go out in mission to the world. You can help the poor. You can move mountains with your faith. You can have a beautiful building. You can have all sorts of children and youth ministries. But if you do not love one another, if you do not love your neighbor, if you do not abide in love as a way of life, it all comes down to nothing. And so we remember that love is at the foundation of who we are called to be as a church and as individual followers of Christ. And so in our worship planning time, we thought it was important to get back to the basics, to hone in on this chapter about love. And what we're really going to be doing over the next 7 weeks is focusing in on just a few verses, verses 4-7. And if you were here this morning and had the bulletin in front of you, you would see we have those words all laid out in the bulletin. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not boastful or arrogant or rude, and so forth. And each week we're going to pick one of those phrases and dive a little deeper. But as I began to study these few verses this week, I realized that, although I don't remember a whole lot of my New Testament Greek, that all of these words are actually verbs. They're not adjectives describing what love is like. They are verbs showing what love does. Love shows patience. Love practices patience. Love shows kindness, acts in kindness in the world. And that's a great reminder that love is a verb. Which, by the way, I'll be reminding the couple tonight as they come to the altar to take their vows, that even though they're probably filled with romantic feelings for each other right now, feelings come and go. But love is a choice. Love is an act of the will. Love is a verb to wake up every morning and choose each other once again. To wake up every morning and choose to be patient, to be kind, not to insist on your own way. And that's true for all of us in every relationship, and not just those dearest to us. Love shows patience. Love practices patience. Now, if we had folks in the sanctuary this morning, I don't want to put the choir on the spot, but I'm just wondering how many of us find patience a little challenging at times? Yeah? When I first started to dive into this idea of patience, I actually resisted a little bit because I believe there are times when patience is not called for. On this weekend, as we remember Dr. Martin Luther King and his legacy and his ministry, I can't help but think about his letter from a Birmingham jail. There was a letter from 8 clergy in Alabama and Georgia who were encouraging Dr. King and others to be patient, to make sure and bring about change, but to do it through the legal system, through legislation, through the judiciary. And in his letter from a Birmingham jail, Martin Luther King Jr. asserts that the time is now. It is not the time to be patient and wait or to be passive, because change will not happen unless we demand it and unless we ask for it. I can't help but think about Jesus' parable of the persistent widow who was not patient, who continued to knock and knock and knock on the door of the judge in order to gain justice. Or I think about Jesus himself going into the temple and knocking down the tables. That was not an act of patience. That was an act of disruption to draw attention to what needed to change. So how do we hold that alongside love shows patience? Well, for one thing, as we look at the Greek word that's used by Paul in this context, the only time it's ever used throughout the New Testament, it's talking about in personal relationship, in relationship with people, not with circumstances or situations or injustice, but in our relationships with people to show patience. And the word literally means to be of long feeling, perhaps even long suffering, long hanging with someone. How do we do that? When are the times that you feel impatient? I know it happens to me almost every day. In situations where what I want and what I'm expecting is not happening, where someone who I want to change is not changing, or I'm standing in line at the grocery store and I need to get on to my next thing and someone is digging around in their purse trying to find their credit card. Deep breath. I was in the Walgreens the other day and to pick up a prescription, and I was two people far back in line, and there was a gentleman at the counter who was leaning in, and he couldn't see that there were people waiting. And he was just chit-chatting with the pharmacist and, well, now tell me where you're from and how's it going? And I was just sitting there being, okay, I'm feeling very impatient. Now is not the time to have this conversation. I didn't say anything, and I didn't act on it. I didn't turn it into a verb, thank goodness. But I sure felt it. And I've just reflected on that feeling of impatience and what's behind it. A situation that I'm not in control. A situation that I want what I want, and I'm not getting it. A situation when I feel like someone else is not being attentive to my needs and I get impatient. It's that day-to-day impatience that plagues me so much. And it causes me to look at that person as a problem, as someone who's in my way. So how does Paul invite the church in Corinth into greater patience with each other and with other people? How can we practice patience when we're wired to be impatient? I think where we have to start with all of these attributes of love is with the nature of God. To remember God's patience with us. God's patience with me. We look to the scriptures and we see Adam and Eve turning against God in the story of creation and how God goes looking for them in the garden. And when God realizes what has happened, even though they have to leave the garden, God clothes them and goes out with them. I see God's patience with Abraham and Sarah as God has made the promise to bring them offspring. And as the years go by, they get impatient and they bring in Hagar and they mess up this whole situation and do harm to her and harm to each other. And God steps into that situation and says, I will take care of Hagar and her child, and I'll invite you to keep trusting me and I'll keep walking with you. As we see God walk with the people of Israel as they continue to complain and we don't have enough water and the food is terrible and when are we ever going to get to the promised land? And God has patience upon patience upon long-suffering patience. Think about those moments when Jesus got impatient with the disciples. Do you remember that time when he looks up to the heavens and says, how long must I deal with this generation? I'm so fed up with you guys. But he doesn't walk away from them. He stays with them. He keeps praying for them and teaching them and guiding them. And when they all scatter to the four winds at his arrest, he returns in his resurrection and gathers them once again and teaches them and fills them with the Holy Spirit and sends them out. I think about God's patience with me as I have continued to wander and veer and try and control and turn away from God and doubt and fail to love God and my neighbor. And yet, as the prayer says in our hymnal, new every morning is your mercy, O God. And if God is so long-suffering, so patient with me and with us, how can we not try and live out patience for one another? So what does that look like in your life? What does that look like in my life? To be patient with the unfolding that is happening in your own life. Be patient with the work that God is doing in you. Be patient with yourself. If you're struggling in a time of depression or anxiety or job loss or grief or whatever it may be, to be patient with the work that God is doing and bringing about in your life. To be patient with others in the day-to-day living. Can I tell you a story? And it's about me and a time that I showed patience. And I was so grateful to God for helping me in that moment. David and I were with our daughter, Levi, on spring break a few years ago. And our plane landed in Miami. We were going to the Everglades. The plane landed a little bit after midnight. We got to the hotel at 1 o'clock in the morning. And apparently, we had not done our reservations through Expedia, but Expedia had just suddenly canceled all the reservations at the hotel. And so someone who'd had the evening shift was just putting people into rooms, and there was no record of what rooms they were in or who was where in the hotel. By the time we got there, there was a new woman at the front desk trying to figure out which rooms were empty. She sent us up twice with a security guard to two rooms that were already occupied. So can you imagine 1 o'clock in the morning, someone's knocking on your door? It freaked people out. And bless her heart, she was just trying to figure it out. And I felt so frustrated. I really was angry and I was impatient. We were tired. We were hangry. But thanks be to God, and thanks be to my husband, who is a very gentle person by nature, we were able to breathe deeply and remember that this was not her fault. And even if it had been her fault, there was nothing she could really do beyond what she was doing in the moment. And God helped me begin to feel compassion for her and what she was dealing with. And so we were kind and we were patient and we eventually got into a hotel room, even though it was a king-size bed that all three of us had to try and fit into. But we slept and everything was okay. 2 weeks later, I come to church and Mike and Sue Salado came up to me and they said, "We heard that you were so kind to that woman working at the hotel in Miami." Like, what? How did you know that? And turns out their son and his wife and their family were in the lobby at the same time. And I thought, whew, boy, am I glad I behaved myself. The truth is, we just never know who we might touch if we can practice love in our daily lives. To bless that woman who was trying so hard and to be kind didn't cost us anything, but I hope it made her life easier. To bear witness to the love and patience of God in that interaction, I'm so grateful for the Spirit who helped us to do that. I could tell you lots of stories about times I failed at it, but thanks be to God, in that moment, we were able to be patient in the way that God calls us to be. So, the invitation, my friends, is to practice patience. We're not going to get it right every time, but new every morning are God's mercies, God who is really ready to fill our cups again every day with love and patience so that we can continue to show it and practice it out in the world in the hope that through our interactions, big and small, every day, God can change the world. And thanks be to God for God's patience and a God who never gives up on us. Amen.
What a gift it is to be loved by such a patient God. I invite you in this moment to affirm your faith with me as we share together, professing a statement of faith of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we now come to this time of prayer, I invite you to lift up your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team for us to pray over throughout the week, you can follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Friends, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God with us, we are grateful for the continued reminder that we are not alone, that you are patiently journeying alongside of us. We are grateful that you know our hearts, the struggles and the woes and the joys. You know them and you hold them with us. And what a gift that is. God, today we lift up those all over the world who are suffering due to natural disasters that just seem to keep happening. God, we don't understand, but we are grateful that you are with us anyway. God, we pray for those who are without a home, those who are displaced. And as we have temperatures that seem to go up and down and drop and rise, never knowing what to expect when we walk outside, today we especially pray for our neighbors who have to navigate the elements. God, we pray for the healthcare workers who continue to work so diligently despite their exhaustion. And for all of those who are working to care for people, whether they be sick due to the pandemic or so many other causes. God, we are grateful for the gift of one another. And we are especially thankful for the prophets of yesterday and today. And we pray for those that you are currently raising up to continue to speak truth to power, to speak love to power. God, we are grateful for the life of Martin Luther King Jr. and for all those who worked alongside him to bring your kingdom that much closer to us. God, motivate us. Move us and mold us into all that you call forth from us. Lord, we lift up our cups. Fill up our cups, Lord, with your loving patience so that we might share it with the world. And just as Christ shared that love with the world, we pray the prayer that he taught us together. We say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we prepare to give our tithes and our offerings, but we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. Since you are worshiping with us online today, we invite you to give to the church by following the information on your screen, or you can mail in a check. Friends, let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us, who is patient with us unconditionally.
great is God's faithfulness. All we have needed, God has poured into us once again this day. May we leave this time of worship filled with love, reminded of God's patience with us, and ready to go and share that patience, practice it, and share that love with all. And may that give us joy and peace today and every day. Amen.